Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Today, I've got an interesting show. Michael Janz, who started working with Gary Richrath, the former late guitarist of REO Speedwagon back in the day, is back with a new band called Richrath 313. We're going to find out what that's all about. Gary's been gone a number of years, but his music and his legacy live on through Richrath 313. We're going to get to hear music from this new band, some of it written in part by Gary Richrath, and some of it brand spanking new off a new album. Michael Janz, lead vocalist, Gary's lifelong friend, will be with us shortly after your headlines. Good afternoon, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio here on the dial at 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Coming up on the second hour, we are going to do a rerun of my recent interview with Doug Cosmo Clifford of Creedence Clearwater Revival fame. We spoke to Doug just a couple weeks ago, and we thought his story was pretty unique, so we're going to re-air that for you on the second hour. But coming up in just a few minutes, live by phone, we'll be speaking with Michael Janz. Now, the story goes, as you know, Gary Richrath was a founding member of REO Speedwagon. REO Speedwagon, of course, a cornerstone of the rock sound of the 1970s and 80s here in Chicagoland. Gary left the band in 1989 and formed a new band, simply called Richrath. They released an album in 1992. Well, Michael Janz was the singer in Richrath, and he is back with a new version of that band. Gary passed away 6 years ago, back in 2015, but his music, his legacy, and his name live on in Richrath, Project 313. We'll talk to Michael about this band. We'll play some newly recorded stuff, some newly written stuff, and a few songs that were actually written with Michael and Gary together, including this first one, which is the title track. L.A. is mine. This is Richrath Project 313. Michael Janz joins us on the other side.
And we dance, we seem to grow, we seem so alive. And the night just drifted away. But I'm a million man, and you are still an angel from a land that's different than mine. So we dance through the night, and L.A. was mine.
Ellie is mine.
You're listening to Midwest Beats on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges, and that is new music by way of old music. Rich Rath Project 313 is the new project. LA Is Mine is the title track. It comes out today. And that song was actually co-written by Gary Richrath, the late guitarist, co-founder of REO Speedwagon, and Michael Janz, who was the lead singer of the Richrath Project back in the 1990s. Well, the new stuff is out today. So let's find out what brought this about and where everyone's been for the last several years. Michael, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Michael,
nice talking with you, Tom.
Nice talking with you. I was going over some of the info on this, and I realized we've probably met because I had Rich Rath, the band, in the 90s, play at Club Dimension back in Highland when Only the Strong Survive was released.
Yeah, I remember the place. Yes, yeah, we did play there, yes.
So it's been a while.
And that was me.
That was you. So, okay, Gary left in 89 from REO, formed the Rich Rath Band with you and others. 1992, right. Only the Strong Survive, a great record, came out. Mm-hmm. Then after a short tour that I knew of, it seemed like the band disappeared. What happened? Why were there no follow-up albums?
Well, what you're hearing is a follow-up album, but many years later, and I'm still carrying the torch for Gary. Through the years, I was Gary's right-hand guy. We did a lot of songwriting together, and mm-hmm. we did a lot of recording together. And, you know, after the Only the Strong Survive came out, we did that for a few years. We toured extensively before, and then we toured after. And, through the 90s, it was an up and down kind of thing. You know, we had some issues going on with the record company and Gary, and keeping the band together and doing what we wanted to do was difficult. And, you know, that whole era was changing, I think, musically. So things were going in a different direction, which Gary wasn't used to. And I certainly wasn't used to. And we just kind of had to take it as day by day. And then, through that time period, we had a lot of demos. We had a lot of material to do another album. And I ended up moving back to the Midwest. We were all from Southern California mm-hmm. at that time. And then I moved back to the Midwest and just started doing some of my own music, just taking a break from everything. And I got a phone call from Gary, and he said, "Hey, how about I come out by you and we start working on a new project?" And I said, "Of course." And so we started working on a new project at the end of the 90s and 2000, and that never got finished. So I had tons of demos and music, and, you know, everything was trying to get back on the right track, and it didn't work. And through the next few years, Gary was still out in L.A., and then he moved back to the Midwest, and I really didn't touch base with him too much, but we still had all these demos that we did together. And then he unfortunately passed away in 2015. And so I was... still have these things here that I was doing my own band. I was doing, songs that I wrote with new people out here in the Midwest. And the record company phoned me one day and said, "Hey, would you consider doing another Rich Rath album?" And I said, "Well, I guess." So we got together, and the president of the label flew out to the Midwest, and we were doing a tour under the Project 313 thing. And we kind of struck a deal up to try to do something new, and we flew the whole band out to L.A. and the end of 2019, I think it was in October or something like that, and started doing more tracks, trying to pull them all together from what I had in the past and future, and, you know, blah blah blah, and then our COVID thing hit,
mm-hmm, right? So, as it did,
yeah. So that put everything on hold, and we didn't know what to do, and the record company was just kind of like dumbfounded with it. And the band was just come, "We want to play," and we couldn't. And I had a very, fortunate meeting with another record company that said they're going to take over. And they did, Dark Star Records. And I've been so lucky and fortunate to have Dark Star Records finish up this project for us. And we took all those tracks that we had, and we recorded some things. And here we have L.A. Is Mine.
And, now that song...
these are songs that
That song that we just played, the title track, that was co-write with you and Gary. There's a few of those on here. Are you sitting on a lot of songs? You mentioned that you guys had, had kind of woodshedded for a while there and were writing. There's only a handful on here that are co-writes. Some are some newer ones, I'm assuming, by you. Are there more of the co-writes in the vault?
Well, there's still some in the vault, but like I said, for right now, we have we put this album out, L.A. Is Mine, and we you know, because this one is trying to put, and I'll play more of a tribute to Gary and his legendary guitar playing, and this is the way that we wanted to do it. And you know, I hope and pray I still have a lot of time on my plate, but you know, like I said, this was for Gary because you know a lot of stuff was just not told about the whole guy. You know, he was an amazing guy. So, and he was a good friend. And I you know, if you met us, you knew how it was.
Right.
We had a great time together, and we had a great band. I mean, we had a killer band, and we did it the way the early REO Speedwagon did it. We just went out and toured and played everywhere, and that was kind of Gary's thing.
Now, are you going to be playing some of the material from Only the Strong Survive, like that title track or Hearts on Fire? What a great song that was!
Yeah, you know what? It's like it's so different. We have such a catalog of playing music. I mean, you know, when we go out, we do kind of like the music of REO Speedwagon featuring Gary Richrath of REO, you know, the legendary guitarist. Mm-hmm. So every night is kind of different, but we stick to a lot of the REO hits, and then we'll throw in, like we just did a show last weekend. We did Friday and Saturday, and we put Outlaws in there, and we put Today in there, and put Where I Pray in there. Hearts on Fire was such a great song, and we actually opened up sets with that song because it goes over so well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to concentrate on the new record now because, I mean, that just came out today. And you can get that record anywhere. L.A. Is Mine, you know, Rich Rat Project 313, it's everywhere. So streaming everywhere. You can download it. You can buy it. You know, there's a video out that we put the first single out on a video. And L.A. Is Mine is just, to me, one of my favorite songs ever. You know, that Gary actually did most of the writing of that song, but he wanted me to do the vocal thing on it, and I kind of worked my magic with the vocal thing that, you know, he always taught me how to do. So,
mm-hmm. How did you meet Gary? How did the two of you come together and form this chemistry, this bond?
Well, I'm right now I'm back out in Thousand Oaks, California today, and I'll be here for the week. And this is where we originally met. I lived out here for quite a few years, and back in the 80s and 90s, and he bought a ranch in Newbury Park, which is the city right next to Thousand Oaks. And Tracy, my drummer, who was with us back when we were there and met you, he was working at like a convenience store here in Thousand Oaks. And Gary came in to buy some things at the convenience store, and that's how we met.
Hmm.
And he just said, "Hey, you're Gary Richrath." And he said, "Yeah, you guys look like you play in a band." Next thing you know, we were jamming together, and then we're recording together, and then we're playing out touring together. So that's a long story short.
One of the things that I remember about Gary, I handled the hospitality for REO a couple of times out here at festivals and fairs. And in 1988, I spent a lot of time with him at Lansing Superfest. I was with the company that was producing that. And I remember Gary being among the nicest of the guys in the band. They were all pretty decent guys. But Gary was one of those that would sit at the desk and just BS with you and, you know, and have a beer or have a pop and just sit and tell stories.
Sure.
And he'd laugh a lot. He was a good-humored, good-spirited kind of guy. The thing I walked away with after meeting and talking with Gary a couple of times is that he didn't take himself too seriously. He took the music serious, but he didn't take the role of rock star or, yeah, it's all about making a hit record. I think it was just the passion of playing that fueled him, and that was refreshing because we dealt with a lot of rock stars back then.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, with what I can say is, you know, he was actually such one of the nicest people just in general. You know, he also had the playability. He's one of the best guitarists I can ever imagine. But, you know, he was so personable with his guitar playing. And his guitar playing, you know, was like the way he sang. I mean, it was just amazing. He could just bring it out through his guitar. Instead of being a singer, he could be a guitarist that could sing with his guitar. I mean, he was amazing. And he... you know, when I started playing with him, he loved my vocal ability so much. He was really a mentor and a teacher of how to sing, you know, and it was like, so he did so many, he gave me so many ideas and so much input to make it work that way. And, you know, it's unbelievable. Like you said, though, he could sit down and have a conversation with just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's one of the things about Gary that was so special. That's, you know, I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, it's an amazing, he was an amazing person. And I just didn't think he got his full justice in this business. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing it.
Now, what does the Project 313 stand for? What is 313? And is the band actually still called Rich Wrath, or is it called Project 313? I'm not quite getting the straight feel on this. Is this a tribute to Gary by Project 313, or is this Rich Wrath doing an album?
Well, the 313 thing, the 313 came up with when Gary and I used to stay in the studio too late at night working on stuff. And the digital clock would come up to 3:13, and usually that's when everybody was getting a little too stupid, and we just had to decide to call it quits. But 3:13 was one of those things that comes up a lot, and it's like, you know, like people have the magical numbers. Well, 3:13 was one of those numbers that always came up for Gary and myself. So through the years, I just kind of, you know, adopted it being just a cool thing to have people ask the question that you're asking right now, and it's like one of those things. It was all fun. It was all good. And it's a 313 moment, you know, and it's 313 somewhere. So, you know, like I said, that was the late nights, having too much fun, staying up way too late and, you know, just trying to do too much recording and having too much fun. And again, it was always that clock that came up. So I decided to use it, the Project 313, which is kind of like the whole project together in one.
It's just, okay.
You're having too much fun. And Gary, you know, we always had nicknames for tours, you know, and it's too much fun tour or whatever it is, you know, because we just always had fun. And he didn't care, you know, he didn't care about where he was playing or what he was doing, if he was playing in front of thousands of people or 100 people or whatever. He just really was a musician that just played, you know, and he made everybody happy. Everybody in a room that when he played loved what he did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of like what it's all about.
So one of the
I'm trying to do the same thing.
One of the things when you're taking a band and an icon like Gary Rich Wrath and keeping his music alive and carrying it on, both the stuff he wrote and the stuff that you are projecting forward, he's a great guitar player, as you mentioned, an incredible player. That puts a lot of weight on your lead player, Dennis Pockets. How did Dennis come around? And what's it like for him to have to carry that legacy on his shoulders every night?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Dennis grew up idolizing Gary, and you know, like I said, he loved Gary's guitar playing. He used to go to all the concerts REO at and sit right in front of this. You know, like when he'd go play at the fairs, the festivals, wherever he could see Gary, he'd sit there and watch him. And watch him, and watch him, and watch him. And it's like, you know, he learned everything he does. He still, to this day, goes over everything Gary did. And it's too bad I couldn't have him with me today, but he's been doing a lot of interviews with me so you can hear his own voice out of it. But he's truly honored that he gets to do this stuff. You know, he's a guy that just loved Gary through the years. He plays like Gary, sounds like Gary. He's got the same setup as Gary, you know, plays through the Les Pauls and the Marshalls, and that's it. You know, it's just like Gary was that kind of guy, you know. Believe it or not, I mean, Gary really didn't play through any effects or anything at all. He just played directly right through his Marshall and with his Les Paul, and it was he could make it sound like anything you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, everybody's using so much processing, it's crazy.
Right, right.
So Dennis tries to stick with the basics. And LA Is Mine is a perfect example, the album, because we did everything the way it was done originally in the 70s, except for the technology factor that we had to bring Gary's guitar up, you know, through the recordings, because a lot of the demos were done on tape. So we took the tapes and then we processed it to bring his guitar so it was up as high as you could possibly get it up there without distorting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the engineer just had us play along with the guitar, and you know, and that was difficult, but again, you know, it shows his ability to be perfectly in time, and the stuff was you know, we played along with him, so he was, it was like he was right in the studio with us.
So he's actually heard playing on those songs, on some of them.
Oh, he's actually, that's his guitar on
okay.
L.A. Is Mine, These Nights, and Help Me Save Me For Myself. That's all Gary's guitar and some of his background vocals in the mix.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay, very good.
We had it all brought up. I have a friend of mine that's an engineer that brought out a lot of the stuff so we could play directly along with it and then re-record what we have. So it's like he was playing in the studio live with us.
All right, let's play another song and give the listeners a chance to hear this. One of the songs I gravitated to was Help Me Save Me From Myself. Again, this is a co-write with you and Gary, and as I understand,
right.
He's also featured on this. What's the song about? That's an interesting title. What brought that about?
Well, this is a song that Gary came to me about when he was, I think, going through a lot of emotional things. There's no doubt that Gary had his issues with certain things in this world, and a lot of people do. Especially now. I mean, there's so many people with depression and you know, drug problems, alcohol problems, whatever the problems may be. And I think this is a cry out for help. And people have to listen to it. And, you know, like I said, my vocals will hit you right in the face when you first hit the song. But then Gary's guitar plays, this is Gary playing out this whole song.
Okay.
And you kind of got to listen to it to understand what it's about.
All right, well, let's pay attention to the lyrics. Let's listen to this great guitarist, some of the final recordings. And this is new music. L.A. Is Mine is the album, Rich Rath Project 313. And this is Help Me Save Me From Myself.
This life, it's just about anyone's guess. Why don't we? Save me from myself.
Help Me Save Me From Myself, another co-write, Gary Richrath and Michael Janz together on that. That's off the new album released today, L.A. Is Mine, from Richrath Project 313. Michael is my guest today on Lakeshore. And this album now is available as digital downloads, and I'm assuming on CD. Are you going to do vinyl as well?
Yes, we are going to be actually putting out some vinyl in the next month.
Okay, and that's on Darkstar, right? Darkstar Records?
Yeah, through Darkstar Records. And like I said, again, it's right. You hit it right on the head. It's streaming right now, digital downloads. That song that we just heard, Help Me Save Me For Myself, we have a video out that you can see, you know, everywhere. That was put out 2 weeks ago for the single that first came off the album. So that's everywhere also.
Okay. Now, when you go back to Only the Strong Survive, which is the album from 1992, that was on GNP Crescendo. Is
correct.
That going to be reissued, or has it been reissued? Because it'd be great to make a companion piece with that.
Right. Well, see, here's what happened. When I was, Neil Norman was with Crescendo Records, or is Crescendo Records, and he asked me to redo the Only the Strong Survive. So we reissued it. Prior to 2019,
okay,
we put out a new jacket and redid some mastering on it, and then re-released it. And that was supposed to be leading into the new album, which we went out to LA to record, and we recorded a bunch of this stuff. But then when COVID hit, he decided he couldn't do anything. He wanted just to kind of like, you know, stop everything. His whole label came to like a screeching stop, you know.
Okay.
And then, so we were just sitting there with all this stuff done, and it was just kind of sitting there. And so my band said, hey, we got to do something. So we put the feelers out there, and Darkstar Records, you know, they're also from California, and they, you know, they said, hey, let's do it. So we went back in and finished up all the mastering and the recordings, and in 2021, here we are. So we skipped a year. So. Which a lot of people did.
Right. It's like the year that didn't exist.
Right. So, but I mean, it was good in the sense of that we got, you know, pretty tight. We really got a chance to work on the music. And you know, we had so many songs recorded in 2019. And this time we just concentrated on what we actually wanted to put out there and release to the fans and the public, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and Darkstar was great at that.
In the live shows that you're doing, and you do have some dates booked, I'm looking at your schedule. You're in Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. On the live shows, how much are you? I'm assuming you're playing most of the new album, and then how much REO are you doing? And the reason I'm asking is, it sounds like you are really focused on making this an original, forward-moving, evolving project, and I'm worried about people saying, oh, well, this is a tribute to REO Speedwagon with a few original songs. How are you deterring
that? It happens that way. It okay. does happen. But, you know, again, with giving credit to REO Speedwagon, I still really enjoy doing those songs. I mean, I love, you know, Kevin Cronin's songs that he wrote. I love singing them. You know, obviously playing with Gary was like a dream come true for me. I mean, I learned so much from him, but playing his songs. So all the songs, kind of like I don't have a problem doing anything. I actually go through a set and I feel the audience what they want to hear, and then I'm going to always play my stuff. I'm going to always play new stuff, but if people want to hear some hits, we'll throw a hit in there. I mean, I love doing that stuff. I love to see the fan response, and you know, the people love us doing REO stuff. I mean, it's just I'm not tributed to them. I'm playing the music of how's that? That's how we usually bill it.
Okay.
So, but I enjoy it, you know, so it's not like it's a tough thing to do. And so does my band. I mean, those guys are icons, you know, we look up to them, but there's no problem doing it. But there's also my life here, which I'm trying to, you know, do this new stuff, which is great material.
Right.
And it just happened to be that I played with Gary for many years. So,
well, you've got 13 songs on Only the Strong Survive, 10 songs on the new album, L.A. Is Mine. I think two of them are actually REO's songs. So that gives you 20-some songs that are yours, for the most part.
Right.
You and Gary had written outside of the REO format. Do you see the day when you're going to be focusing mostly on that and kind of putting the REO to bed and moving forward?
I definitely see the day, and I'm sure it'll happen. And like I said, again, you know, doing what we're doing right now is just getting the grassroots out there and getting people to hear the band and understand what it's all about. I think we'll make it happen. And then we'll be eventually just doing more and more new stuff. Because that's the problem. There's no new stuff from the old camp. There's only new stuff coming from my camp. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do. And I think that's what Gary was all about. You know, he wanted to keep doing new stuff. And he was the cutting edge of a lot of things. So, and you can listen to it right now because these songs are just great. I love them.
There are some videos on your website of you guys doing some of the REO stuff. And you do it justice, that's for sure.
Thank you. I take pride in it. You know, like I said again, you know, I enjoy, you know, doing everything from Can't Fight This Feeling to Time for Me to Fly. And you know, I mean, again, doing Take It on the Run is when you get everybody in the audience singing the opening lines of it. I mean, how can you not love that?
And right.
And that's scary, you know, so... And then when you do Golden Country, you want to hear Dennis Pocket, you hear Golden Country? That is absolutely amazing. I mean, that, you know, that's the song for our country. That's just like, amazing. He'll do a whole thing. We'll do the whole thing so you can really appreciate what Gary was all about.
Right.
And we shoot a video. We have a video screen behind the stage that usually has Gary playing
along with
that one when we do that. So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. I would love to see that. Now, the listeners,
we really honor the man, and that's what we're trying to do all the time. And again, you know, like there's going to be a day and time where we can, you know, like you were saying, move on to doing the new stuff. But you know, like I said again, there's something missing out of the thing that happened with Gary, and it needs to the story needs to be told a little bit more anyway.
Okay. Listeners, you can see the videos we're talking about, learn more about the band at project313rocks.com. And they truly do rock. This is a great site to see. YouTube channel is there with a lot of the videos, and you'll understand what we're speaking of here. How many dates right now are you looking to do? I mean, you've got about five or six booked at this point. Are you out there pushing hard to keep playing? Are you working on new songs, woodshedding in the studio? What's going on right now within the band?
Well, right now we're pushing the new album right now. And like I said, I came out to L.A. I'm doing a bunch of interviews out here. And the schedule this week, I'm going to be talking with agents and management to book a full tour that'll probably last us through the year, but it's to be determined where we're going to be at. We have those shows in Detroit and Ohio and Wisconsin and Illinois, but I have some possibilities of doing a full tour up and down the coast, East Coast, and then before this hit with the 2020 thing, right at the end of 2019, we had several shows booked out west. In Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, California, and we're trying to kind of put it all together for the release of this album. So we're still working on the whole deal to get perfectly routed, you know, because it's really hard to do this stuff without doing good routing jobs.
Right, right, yeah, it's expensive to be on the road.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's very expensive.
Now, what kind of feedback have you gotten? I know that this is out today, but I'm assuming that you've been pushing advanced singles, things like that. What kind of feedback have you gotten from, A, the REO/Rich Rath fan base, and have you heard anything at all from REO itself?
No, I never hear anything from REO, and I don't think I will. You know, like I said, again, even when I was playing with Gary back in the day, there was a very strange scenario that happened when he left. It was almost like there were ties that were cut and we never did hear much of anything, but there's never animosity. It's the unspoken word. And I think by me doing this again, and I have heard nothing, but I hear positive, positive, positive. There's so many great, you know, REO fans and great Gary Richrath fans that just love what we're doing and think we do a really good job doing it. And like I said, you know, you see the videos and you hear us live, and my gosh, I mean, it's just amazing. We're getting really good input from it.
Good.
So, I mean, and there's all kinds of fan sites all over the place and different websites that pick up on it. I mean, Gary's got so many sites that people have opened up fans all over the place. And we're getting responses from all over the world with this album just for doing it, you know, that are all positive.
One thing I was curious about is when Gary left REO, again, 1989, times were changing, music was changing, REO certainly was changing in their style. Gary was the rocker of the band. I mean, the stuff he wrote, the stuff he played, his leads were hardcore rock and roll. Kevin and the other guys seemed to want to go in more of a ballad direction, kind of like Journey. If you listen to the first two, three Journey albums, those are rockers. Mm-hmm. Then you hear Steve Perry come in, and after Infinity, they become balladeers. Do you think that had a lot to do with why he left? Was he unhappy with the direction and wanted to kind of rock out with his own thing?
Well, I can say without a doubt, 100%. I mean, that was one of the problems. But, you know, like I said, he's a rocker, but you know, he also knows how to write songs. He knew how to write songs, and he you know, Take It on the Run isn't like the heaviest rocker in the world, but it's got hooks, it's got melodies in it, it's got so much great stuff in it that and the hooks are just incredible with his guitars. So you know, you kind of capture the whole package there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of the songs that we're doing right now, like Help Me Save Me For Myself and L.A. Is Mine, and then I got some songs that I learned from Gary that are on this new album that are going to do the same thing. I mean, we have another song that's called Heard It on the Radio that's got incredible riffs on it and hooks that Gary would have, you know, you still, it's got the feel of Gary in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great song, and so it's that whole thing, you know, he wasn't just a rocker, he was everything, you know, and I say he was the sound of REO Speedway.
Right. I would agree with that, especially early on.
He taught me so many things, and, you know, I don't have a problem singing any song that Kevin did. I mean, I it's not a problem. And it's like, you know, I mean, we do justice to that. And again, you know, Gary's playing his guitar the way he played, and he taught, you know, Kevin the same stuff he probably taught me. So I don't know. It is what it is. It's in the recordings.
Right.
So, you know, like have your fans out there, go out there and stream it or download it or buy it or whatever, because it's everywhere and you can hear it.
Well,
REO fans will definitely not be disappointed.
You mentioned one of the songs that I was actually leaning to playing, and I think we're going to play it now, and that is Heard It on the Radio. This is a song that was written with your current lead guitarist, Dennis Pockets, who you said was kind of mentored and kind of a disciple of Gary's style. So I think mm-hmm. I think this one is, it has single written all over it as far as radio
it
play.
It definitely does. And like I said, this is another song that you know, was, you know, I got influenced by Gary's songwriting, and it's like, you know, and then it was really cool that Dennis came up with a really cool riff, and I'm like, that riff is perfect for this song and what we're trying to portray with Gary and REO and Michael Janz and Dennis Pockets and Rich Rapp. And it all kind of feeds together to this song. And this song is it, I think. It's a really good song.
Was this released as a single in advance? Because if not, it certainly should have been.
It's one of them that will be. In fact, it's going to be released in the next, I'd say a few weeks maybe. We have a video already shot for this one. So.
Okay, well, let's listen to it. This is Heard It on the Radio, and you're hearing it on this radio station, Lakeshore Public Radio.
Radio, 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 radio. Late night, we go out dancing.
You're hearing it on the radio right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, Midwest Speed is the program. I'm Lounges talking to Mr. Michael Janz. He's the vocalist, songwriter on that Rich Rath Project 313 new music. Heard it on the radio is from L.A. Is Mine, a new album, a new 10-song collection released today. In virtual form, CD, soon to be on vinyl, all through Dark Star Records. And Michael is our guest. Michael, that song was co-written, as we mentioned, with your current lead guitar player, Dennis Pockets. It's the only one that he wrote on this. Is he writing more and more now that you guys have had some time together?
Oh, yeah. Now that I got him in the studio and I gave him the studio bug, he's going crazy. He's constantly calling me up. I got another riff for a song, you know. So he's working it, and he's doing a really good job. You know, like I said again, I kind of passed what I learned from Gary down to him now, and he's doing the same thing, and it's amazing when you have that certain kind of niche that you have, and you just don't want to stop. You just keep going and going and going and going, and it really works. There's like a certain formula, and it just, it's magic.
So he's kind of caught the fever now.
Yes, he definitely has. It's funny. It's very funny. He's got a couple of songs right now that are they'll come out on the next album that are going to be great.
Now, one of the things I like about this is that it does, obviously, you have a very Kevin Cronin-esque voice, and you need that to do some of the earlier songs, but you're bringing a uniqueness of your own to those songs, and what I like about this album is it takes me back to, I grew up with REO, like all of us did here in Chicagoland, and it takes me back to some of the earlier albums. I kind of fell off on REO when they were getting into the ballad stuff a little more. That was, you know, the girlfriends all liked it, but I like going back to the Golden Country era and mm-hmm. Son of a Poor Man and things like that. This album has that groove. It's more of the rock sound. Do you see yourself embracing more of a ballad style since that was so successful as a formula for REO, or is this the format you really want to do?
Well, you know, like Gary always, you know, told me, he said, you know, don't try to go write a song to make it a hit.
Okay.
You know, write a song for something that's happening in your life or something that you feel. And, you know, I think that's most important. But I mean, you know, obviously there's ups and downs in everybody's life. And you go through such turmoil, and then you go through happy times and terrible times. But like I said, so it's kind of like it you just got to feed what's out there and put it to music, and that's what we do. I think that I could say, not knowing what they were trying to do at that time, is what kind of drew them apart. Because I think that Gary was just Gary, and you know, like if you're trying to write songs, like you just brought up Journey earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do you, yeah, you can see what they did, right? I mean, I love Journey. I love all those bands, you know, but you can just see certain times you have certain formulas that you try to go to. And now I'm just trying to do what we do best, and that's rock out. And again, I can't help that I wrote a ballad. I wrote a ballad on this song, on this album, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's called Please Let Me Love Again. And it's like, it's a ballad, and it's kind of a love song, but it didn't just happen that way. This is a song that I put together from, you know, years past, and I just kind of blended it together, and things change. You know, you go through different thoughts and different processing, and then you decide, hey, I'm going to put this in here. I'm going to put that in there. And that's what's so cool about the stuff that I originally did with Gary, and then they kind of turned into what I have now. And it was, you know, it was the ideas that we came up with. And then, you know, he'd always do, like, you're talking about Only the Strong Survive. You know, he gave me Outlaws, and he wrote the beginning part on a grand piano. He played the piano, and he just said, get over here now, and, you know, we live so close. I got this new song I want you to listen to, and he had the first verse written, mm-hmm. and it was about him leaving REO Speedwagon, and then him joining a new group of guys. And he goes, I want you to write the second part of this song. I want you to come up with the whole thing about how this is your new group of Outlaws. So he had this thing. He gave it to me. And I took it home, and I worked on it for a couple of days, and that's where Outlaws came from. It's, you know, about being with all your close allies, and then you have to you break the ties, and you have to find new people.
Mm-hmm.
And then those new people turn into new people. So that's Outlaws. And, you know, he kind of did that same thing with Hollywood off that album, you know? Hollywood was one that he, you know, said that was going to be put on, like, High Infidelity years ago. but it just never got, it never made it, you know? So he said, you know, Michael, try to finish this one, you know? So I did that, and, well, everyone heard Hollywood that has the only song survive. It was a really great tune. Definitely had that REO feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a work in progress every time you do it. So that's how he worked with me, and that's kind of like what it works with me and Dennis now.
Gary produced Only the Strong Survive. Who produced this one? I don't see. And what I have here, I've got an advance. I don't have credits on it as far as production.
I did.
Okay.
I did producing, and I did the, you know, pretty much everything. I put it all together the way that Gary would have done it, you know, back to work. So.
Okay.
And there was no actual producer besides myself. And that was kind of cool with Darkstar, because that's, they just let me do it. They said, okay, here's what we want. You guys, you do it and tell your story, you know? So that's what I'm doing.
Was there a lot of tweaking going on, or was this something that you pretty much went in, recorded, and said, okay, that's what we got, the live sound? Because it has a very live sound.
Right. Well, it does. Brad Zewig was my engineer, and he's a guy who knows how to do a lot of old kind of engineering, but he's also, you know, modernized with all high-tech stuff. And he took a lot of the stuff. My idea was to get Gary's guitars lifted off so we could play along with us and try to do a live thing. And he took the time to get it all worked out so those songs that Gary did play on were going to sound like he actually is in the studio with us playing. And then he went back and researched, like, early REO Speedwagon stuff, like from, you know, the 70s. And that's how Ride in the Storm Out got redone. And so, Poor Man, we did those songs the same way that they did back in the 70s.
Okay. Let's play. We got time for maybe another two quick songs and a quick say goodbye. But let's play something. I'm torn between playing the other one that you wrote and features Gary, which is These Nights, and also the lead song, which kicks things off, because it's very today. Never Give Up. It's written about the society, the era we're living in now, and that is one of your songs. Which would you like to play?
I would like to hear Never Give Up. I mean, I think that's a song that it ties in the COVID 2020 thing, and I think everybody will really, that's the song that's going to hit home.
All right, let's play that. This is written by Michael. We'll be back to say goodbye on the other side of this.
Looking forward, looking back, they say hindsight is 2020. Looking for a bright light. The U.S. U.S. Space Force comes to pass, Apollo gives way to SpaceX. Looking forward, looking back, they say hindsight is 2020.
Never give up. Powerful music cut from today's headlines. New stuff off LA Is Mine. That is Rich Rath Project 313. Michael Janz wrote that. He's singing it. And Michael, that's a strong song. I love that song.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That's one of them. When I said, are you looking to start evolving more into your own groove, taking it past the REO connection? That's one of those songs that inspired me to ask you that, because your sound is different. It doesn't have an REO sound. It's got the Gary guitar, but it doesn't really have an REO sound, and your vocals are even different inflections, different level of power. When you wrote that, was that one of the last songs written, I'm thinking, because it took place during COVID?
Actually, there were parts of it that were written earlier, and then when we were in the studio, everybody said, "No, we should probably try maybe doing something for, you know, all the negativity that's going out there, to try to turn it positive, and trying to make it, you know, so everybody was more happy about things and trying in any way possible." So I jotted some things down, and then we worked on some things and said, "Hey, let's do Never Give Up, and let's try this, and we'll put some, you know, stuff that went on with COVID and stuff that was going on with the whole world being so crazy and turned upside down."
Wow. Now, are you doing the narration-type voice on there as well? Telling the story. I mean, you're the singing part, but there's the dialogue. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me that's doing that in the studio, yes.
Wow. It sounds completely different.
Right. Yeah, we did that. That's, again, my engineer, Brad, he worked some really cool things in the studio. So that was me doing all the narration in there, and then... That's where we came up with hindsight is 2020, which happens to be 2020, you know.
Wow. It kind of reminded me of J.Y. on Styx when he was doing the heavy metal poisoning voice, you know, that deep narrating voice. That's what that reminded me of. I thought, how cool is that? But
yeah, that was cool. It was cool.
Is that one you do in concert?
Yes, we do that one live.
Okay, yeah. I got to think that gets a lot of response as well.
People love it. They, I mean, like I said, some of the ones right now, I've heard it on the radio. And Never Give Up and Help Me Save Me For Myself are just going over great.
Okay. You can keep up with the band at Project313Rocks.com. That's Project313Rocks or RichRathRocks.com. It'll take you to the same website, and you can keep up with all the dates. There's dates constantly being added, new videos being added. The CD is out today as well as the digital. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and I look forward to getting the vinyl. Do you have a target date for that?
I'm hoping by the end of the month, but I heard that they're having problems now, like everything else, getting the vinyl out there. And when you put in a new order, it's taking longer than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they put an order in, and it was actually supposed to be out already, but they said it's going to be at least another month. So I don't know why that is, but it just is.
Well, I know delays on the pressing, stampers. There's a lot of delays on that because there's so few in existence since they destroyed most of them back in the day.
Right. I know that was something that Gary really wanted on the Only the Strong Survive, but it never happened. So I really pushed for them to have it on this album.
Okay, well, I definitely will be carrying it at my record stores because I think this is a strong project, and I do want to touch on the graphics for it. The album cover looks like a postcard from L.A.
Right.
With the band and the palm trees and the lake behind, the ocean behind it. Tell me about that. That was kind of a cool concept for the cover.
Well, if you look inside, it's got Hollywood with the sign falling down because that was basically the Hollywood thing with Hollywood, and it's spelled that way, you know, mm-hmm. like Feature did. It was about, you know, it was all play on things, and we just came up with some different ideas. And again, LA is a place where I lived in Thousand Oaks, and I love it out here. So we kind of put that together. That's where Gary and I met, and we just put it. We thought it was a perfect album thing, you know, and L.A. is Mine, the song, it's about coming out to L.A. when Gary was in the 70s and he first came out here, and the whole thing kind of led to one another, and here it is, you know, L.A. is Mine.
All right. Is there anything, Michael, we haven't touched on or you'd like to let people know? We're going to play a final song as we say goodbye, but what have we not talked about that you'd like to let them know?
I think we need to have everyone get out there and download the CD or buy the CD and get the watch the videos and see what Gary was all about and how this new band's going to take over everything. So we want to do it, you know. We have Gary's help here.
All right. Project313rocks.com is where you'll find it. And look for the vinyl coming soon. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate it and hope to see you soon.
All right. We'll watch for you on the road. Let's take it out with a song that, again, features Gary Richrath along with Michael. This is These Nights, track 8 out of 10 on L.A. is Mine. Stick around. We've got Doug Clifford of CCR fame joining us on the second hour.
Your name keeps